o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs we believe in better, as the Tausch summer sabbatical rolls on. He'll be back next week. We've got a deep bench. We're really lucky. But Brian, so that was the highlight for me for Steno. We also talked about Matthew Golden and how he's come along. You know, we're probably not going to have time to get into it. I don't know how much you guys talked about it while I was gone, but there was a great moment yesterday, a 54-yard touchdown from Love to Golden. And what I thought was great about it was not the play itself, but the fact that they had run the exact same play the day before as a double move, and Golden didn't sell the first part of the double move, and so it was covered, and it didn't work. And to me, anyway, the most important thing with young players is when they do something wrong, which they're inevitably going to do, even if you're a first-round pick, that they do something differently to fix it on day two, and we saw the results. And so I did want to touch on that before we got to the two coordinators that we haven't talked about yet, because to me, that's a great sign. Like, yeah, he's fast, and yeah, he's smooth, and he's got strong hands. Those are all great things. But tell me if I'm wrong, Brian, but when you have young guys, and he turns 22 on Friday. He is 21 years old. And for him to have that kind of wherewithal to say, hey, I screwed this up yesterday, I need to do it better, and for him to do it the way he did it yesterday now, I think that's a lot. I think that says a lot about him as a player. Agree or disagree?
Nope, I agree. I mean, that's how well, that's how you become a professional, like a true professional in this league, is like learning from mistakes, from tape, from day to day to day. And then that's what training camp is for. And that's how young guys are able to come along in the league faster than others. It's how they learn from their mistakes the day prior and correct them the next day, right? If you continue to make mistakes, or the same mistakes day after day after day, the development process is just hampered. So to see him able to, you know, correct things so quickly and learn and adapt and then, you know, make the play on top of it the following day is very encouraging. And just with that, then the quarterback then begins to trust, right? Then that builds that trust of throwing him that ball, counting on him to make that double move or to be in the right position. And that's what you want to see early on in camp. So to me, that speaks volumes about him as a young guy in this league, trying to do the right things and go about his progression and learning the right way. To me, that's a great sign. You love to see those things from young guys, because playing receiver in this league is not easy. There's a lot of things you need to learn. There's a lot of things you need to adapt to, and coverages and adjustments and all these different things within this LaFleur offense. There's a lot of tough things that he needs to learn. So it's good to see that he's learning from mistakes made from day to day, and he's able to correct them so quickly. That's great.
All right. There's two things I want to get to with Bisaccia, but one of them overlaps with a conversation we had with Jeff Hafley as well. So we'll get to that coming up. The thing about Bisaccia that I know you were on field goal protection unit, but much like playing guard, no one ever really wanted you to be the long snapper either. Did you have that in your background in high school or peewees or anything?
Nope.
Okay.
Never was a skill. I should have learned it, but I didn't.
Yeah, you'd still be playing, probably. You're good at it.
I should have learned.
But then you wouldn't be here, and we're better off with you here. But Bisaccia talked about, because Brandon McManus has been automatic. In fact, Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated called him Automatic McManus. I flubbed it. And I said they should make a T-shirt, which I guess you could be putting the whammy on him then, and you don't want to do that. But what Bisaccia said is that they've got the battery of the snapper, Matt Orzech, obviously punter Daniel Whelan is the holder, and now McManus. And he came in October, and now they've had half a season, a full off season, and now they're getting a training camp. My question for you is, as a player, you know, and you and Mason are good friends, you guys were teammates for a long time, how different is it when you have a kicker you can count on versus a kicker you don't? Because right now, their confidence has to be sky high in their kicking game.
Yeah, I mean, for offensively, it feels good. I mean, it makes you feel a lot more comfortable knowing. I mean, you always want to be perfect on offense and cash in every series, right? Like, you want to get the seven. You want to hit pay dirt every single drive. Obviously, that's the goal and all that. I get that. That's stating the obvious. But it doesn't happen that way. And the objective is always to put points up no matter what every single drive. And to have a guy that you can count on from not just, you know, short range, obviously that should be the obvious, but for a guy that you can count on from that 50-yard range that can, you know, bang in field goals and you feel really good about all the time. I mean, it makes offensive guys feel good that, hey, we could put in a lot of work. Say we get pinned back deep and we put together a drive and we're able to get him into a position within, you know, 45 to 55 yards, he's going to cash in for us. And all that work that we put in to get us into that scoring zone for him gets paid off, right? And that's a good feeling. And then you even add on to that when you're in a two-minute or end-of-game situation and you know we only need to get to this point. We don't need to grind over getting inside the 30-yard line to feel okay about kicking a field goal. We only need to get to this point, and anything more we get for him is a bonus, right? Like, it's just even more of a confidence builder. That makes you feel good as an offense. It opens up a lot of things for you offensively too, knowing that your kicker can cover up for you. Like, you can be a little more, I don't want to say conservative, but you don't have to take as many risks in certain situations that you normally would have to if you're like, hey, man, we don't trust our kicker from 52 yards. We have to get within 45 for this guy for us to feel comfortable. We got to take a shot. And we all know what happens in certain situations at end of games, and you got to take a shot. Sacks happen, fumble or picks happen, bad things happen. So, like, when you have confidence in your kicker, it makes the offense feel like, hey, like, all we got to do is get in this position and this guy's going to make it happen for us. And that's a good feeling to have, not just offensively, but defensively. They feel like if we get a stop, all we need to do is get our offense back out there and McManus is going to bang this thing in from no matter what. Like, it's a good feeling for the team overall, having confidence in that guy at the end of the game.
All right, I want to get into Bo Melton next, and then I want to get into what Jeff Hafley talked about year two in their defense and evolving, and also their commitment to forcing more fumbles. It sounds like they have their own version of the peanut punch of old Peanut Tillman that they are working on to improve in that area. So we'll get to that coming up. Want to remind you, and look, we're so thrilled to have great Cousin subs of the day to fill in for Tausch, and we've got great partners as well. And one of them, of course, is Grubelofs. Is one call, that's all. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com. Find out more about the firm, David's history, everything they do in our communities. Again, I had to find out what we needed to do when Paula and Maddie were rear-ended in Madison a couple weeks ago. And I talked to one of their great lawyers there, Nick, and he helped us through the process to know, okay, here's what you got to do next. And is this something that we want to pursue legally? Yes, no, maybe. All those questions will be answered with that call. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So, this is not going to be breaking news, but I've got a lot of shortcomings. I'm aware of them. Self-awareness is not one of them. I have that. But I know that if there are guys that I like and that I think are good humans, which, again, never know. I mean, Bulaga, Lord knows all the stuff you had going on behind the scenes. I never I thought I knew you, but I really didn't. But in all seriousness, I try not to allow that to cloud my judgment. But I have to work at it, frankly, because I'm just, you know, I'm not a robot. And so I really like Bo Melton. Like, I really think he's the kind of guy you need on your football team. I think there's value in that type of person who will do whatever it is that the team needs, right? I also live in the real world where, and I said this to Bisaccia when we were talking to him today, usually when a guy moves positions, it's an intermediate move between being on the team and no longer being on the team, right? It's like it's the way station on your way to unemployment. And with Bo, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. Now, I have plenty of examples through my time covering this team. Lots of guys have moved to corner. There was Alex Magoo, the quarterback, who they moved to wide receiver. We knew what that was, right? But in Bo's case, and this is where my, you know, biases come in. I do not want to be the guy that's thinking, well, I like Bo, so of course they're going to keep him. So I phrased my question to Bisaccia along those lines of, look, you know, usually when a guy moves positions, he's on his way off the roster. And here's the last line of Bisaccia's answer. And again, you be my, Bulaga, be my guide to make sure that I'm not hearing what I want to hear, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're so excited that we have him regardless of what side of the ball he's on. He's going to be an impact for our team. And then he talked about how, you know, he plays the spots on the kickoff where they expect him to make a tackle. And he plays flyer on punt return on punt coverage where he's expected to make a tackle. I believe that their thought here is we got better wide receivers than Bo Melton. We love Bo, great dude. Now that we got Golden and these other guys, we got guys that belong on this team. But we don't have a lot of good corners. We got our top three, and then who knows what. We move him to corner. It's a place where we can put him on the depth chart as opposed to just having him as, hey, this guy's going to be our special teams guy. So am I wrong to think that way, Brian?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think they want him, right? Like, I think that's I look at the whole situation and they want Bo Melton on the team, right? And you looked at it correctly from the wide receiver room, it's crowded, right? Like, and I don't think that is that's not a representation of Bo Melton, like of the type of receiver he is or he was, because now he's a corner. The receiver room is just crowded. Right. And whether you look at it because Watson's on PUP, they drafted two guys early. That's obviously the case. They got guys with 2 years left on a deal. They got two guys, obviously, with Watson on PUP, but Dobbs is on 1 year left of a deal. Like, it's just a room that's crowded and you can't keep, eight guys or whatever it may be. Right. Like, you just can't do it in that room. It's impossible. It can't happen based on numbers and how many guys you can keep. And then you look at the flip side, going to defense, and you look at the corners and the numbers they have there. And, you know, they could say that, you know, we saw potential there in college that he could do that or whatever it may be. That's fine that you make that switch. But they look at him as an impact special teams player, right? Like, that is his role on the team, and that's great. Whether you want to say he's a defensive player, an offensive player, it is what it is, right? Like, because we all know, and you know this, we get into the season and say they go, unfortunately, through a little blip where receivers are out for a couple weeks with maybe soft tissue things, he's going to play receiver. Like, he will go play receiver, and that's just the way it goes, right? Like, because he knows the position. And he may have to play defense. Obviously, that's where he's going to be, and he's going to play corner if needed, and however the depth chart stacks up. I don't know how it's going to stack up. That
right.
secondary still confuses me and how they're going to – how that all shakes out.
Agreed.
But he is an impact special team player. Like, that is his role on this team, and you need guys like that that take that job – seriously, and they know that's their role and they love their role and they're going to go sell out for their job. And that's what Bo Melton is, right? Like, that's his role on this team. Mm-hmm. Whether he wears a receiver number, a corner number, or he has a green jersey on during practice or a white jersey, mm-hmm. it's just where he is contributing during practice. And if he gets during a game, if there's, you know, what situation he's in, right? You know, if he's got to go play corner, he's got to go play some corner. Regardless, doesn't matter. His role is going to be on special teams, and that's where he's going to be a key contributor. And I don't see him not being on the team. I think he will be on the team. And, like, those comments from Bisaccia speak volumes. Like, to me, mm-hmm. when a coordinator says that, to see him then turn around on the last week of cuts and not be there, I would be absolutely shocked. It would surprise me, because it would be like, well, why did you make that move for him? Because then he could have made the best case for himself at a position he's been at for the last few years and tried to earn like a fifth or sixth receiver role and then still be your impact special teams guy. But no, you moved him to a spot that he hasn't done, but still be an injustice, essentially, by moving him and putting him behind
exactly.
the eight ball.
Yeah.
But it sounds like he's going to be on this roster. It sounds like he's going to be on this roster, and he should be, because, like, you need special teams guys. Like, you need those guys. Like, there's a role for guys like that on a team, and he's like a perfect fit for that. And he's that guy that can go do receiver in a pinch if you need him to. That's very valuable to have.
Yeah, Halfley said it at the end of his answer about Bo's transition. He said, everything's not going to look perfect, but I was fired up. I love the guy. You win with guys like Bo. All right? So when your defensive coordinator is saying that and your special teams coordinator is saying that. But again, let's be honest. Goody said that Devontae Adams was a Hall of Fame player and they were going to keep him, and they didn't. He said that Aaron Jones was absolutely going to be on the team. So it's still, you can't go on everything that is said. You just don't know. So speaking of things that were said, I want to get to what Jeff Halfley had to say, because I'm intrigued by what this defense is going to be. We're going to squeeze in, Jesse, a quick Whoa Nelly at the end of the show, which means it'll be about a minute or
maybe
30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm not getting my hopes up.
But I'm gonna try. But I need to tell you about Behind the Bucks as well. And that is, you know, we've had this podcast going on now for a while, and there's some really great content in the Behind the Bucks podcast presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks brings you exclusive access and untold stories about the greatest stars and moments in Bucks history. Go behind the scenes of Giannis's Emmy-nominated documentary. Hear the true origins of Bucks and Six, and more. Behind the Bucks is on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I was reminded by Jesse that Jesse had about 45 minutes of airtime while I was down at the press conferences. So forget Woe Nelly. We're Woe Nellying Woe Nelly. So, Brian,
Woe Nelly!
There's two things from Halfley I want to get to before we run out of time. One is their need to force more fumbles. He was very adamant about that, okay? And again, you can talk about it all you want, but the bottom line is, do you do it, right? So coaches love to say you get what you emphasize. Last year, the Packers finished fourth in the league in takeaways. Pittsburgh and Minnesota tied for the league lead with 33. Buffalo had 32, and the Packers had 31. They're shooting for 43. And Halfley's point is, because that would be the league record, apparently. I have not looked that up myself yet. But Halfley's point is, we didn't force enough fumbles. They had 14 fumbles they forced. They had 17 interceptions. You know, you played on some teams, you know, I think back to especially the ones the year before you got here in 09, and then obviously your rookie year in 10. You know, when you've got Nick Collins, you've got Charles Woodson back there, you've got Clay Matthews screaming around the edge, you got people, you know, strip sack fumbles all the time. Cullen Jenkins was great at that. Just, this is self-evident, but, you know, no wonder everyone wants more takeaways. Hey, we need to take the ball away more. Show me a defensive coordinator who doesn't say that. And you're showing me a guy who's probably getting fired, because that's what you need to talk about. The game's all about the ball. They have instituted this thing with Wendell Davis, who has been named the Ball King. And he has a presentation every day about where they go through film and show mistakes and guys that passed up opportunities to force fumbles, guys that got fumbles. So they're making it an emphasis. My question for you, going back to that, you get what you emphasize. Does that, from your playing career, more often than not, when you emphasize something to this degree, do you get what you're looking for?
Yeah, there's guys are thinking about it more, right? Like they're more they're more aware of it as they're, you know, approaching to make a tackle, or they're gang tackling and you know, one guy's securing, one guy's punching, you know, like they're more aware of what they're doing, or a guy's going to make a sack and they're, you know, going for a strip sack and things like that. Like, yes, they are more in tune to, you know, punching the ball out or forcing turnovers. But a part of that too is like the other team is trying to keep it, right? Like there is a part of this whole thing that, like, yes, you want to force turnovers, you want to punch the ball out, you want to, like, but like there's a little bit of luck involved with it as well, right? Like, I mean, it's easier said than done, right? Like, I mean, the interceptions and you know, plays like that, like there's a lot of those things where you see a lot more of those things happening because guys are in good position and they jump routes and they do those things really well, right? Like it's not really so much luck involved in that. Where the fumble thing, there's a little more luck involved in that, right? Like you're counting on the ball carrier to be carrying it a touch loose, or, you know, the quarterback to be just in the right position where the DN comes screaming around the edge and he tips that ball out and things like that. So you can put a lot of emphasis on it and guys can be very aware of it. And it could lead to a few more of those, right? Like a few more fumbles and balls on the ground and it could help, you know, boost that statistic a little bit. But like to say that it's going to pay off in a way that is dramatic, that it puts you over the NFL record of takeaways is, I mean, you got to set goals. I love goals. Lofty goals are great, which I can appreciate. But the fumble one is, I mean, it's it's a lucky thing at times, right? Like, because obviously on the flip side of that, I'm sure offensively they are talking about ball security would be my guess.
Oh, they are.
And so like you got to look at it from both sides of the coin, right? Like one's talking about security, one's talking about punching it out. And 31 other teams are talking about the exact same thing. So like I love the emphasis on it because you do, it's all about the ball. It's taking it away and it's keeping it. But punching out the football and stripping it, I mean, there's a little bit of luck involved in that. And that's just the nature of this thing, right? Like, and if you're able to force five more, six more, and you're able to actually get on top of those and recover them, that's a big deal throughout a season, right? Like, that's actually, like, you look how that propels you in the standings of turnovers and things like that. That's a big shift in where you end up ranking at the end of the day. So, like, to say we need 25 more is, like, outrageous. Like, that, I mean, I'll, you know, call it what it is. But say you get six more. Like that's a big number, and I hope they get it because like if you put that much emphasis on something, you want to see the results pay off. But the one thing you don't want to see, right, is like guys going for tackles and the first thing they go for is trying to punch out a rock and they're not actually securing a tackle, and a receiver is able to slip away from something and he ends up getting an extra 15 yards because someone's trying to punch a ball out and not secure a tackle first. So like there's an up and down to that, you know, give and take, but Halfley seems like he knows what he's talking about when it comes to, you know, teaching the fundamentals of this thing on that side of the ball. They're a pretty secure tackling team, at least from what I saw last year. So I hope it pays off.
All right. The other thing that Halfley talked about that I just wanted to get to quickly is how strange last year was and how it affects this year. And what I mean by that is he came with, you know, he got the job. He had this vision for what the defense was going to look like, right? And then given the personnel that he had, given the shortcomings that his four-man pass rush had, quite frankly, given the fact that he had Jair early but then didn't have him for most of the rest of the season, the fact that Edger and Cooper kind of came out of nowhere for them, right? They evolved throughout the season. And now it's almost, he said, it's almost like there's a new coordinator for year two, even though there isn't. They've got the foundation. But isn't this, and Chris was just saying in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments, if they lead the league in takeaways, you can say goodbye to Jeff Halfley because he's going to get a head coaching job somewhere. And yeah. If that's true, but isn't this, I just think this is what good coaches are, right? They're the guys that figure out a way to be good, and it doesn't necessarily come the way they planned it, right? Like, hey, here's what we do. This is what we're doing. Sure, if that works, great. But I got news for you. Everybody else is getting paid around the league too, and they're going to figure out what you're doing, and then you got to figure out what you're going to do to beat them. Isn't that, in your mind as a former player, is that the mark of a really good coordinator, is that that's what they're capable of?
Yep. It's how they evolve and how they're able to adjust, and not just adjust in a game, right? Like that's obviously how you see how a team is able to counter what another team is doing, but it's when you're in a rhythm of a season, how you're able to change things up in the middle of a season, right? Because when a team gets in a good rhythm and they're doing something really well in a season, teams, like you said, start to game plan and they start to figure out and tendencies of what your defense is doing and they start to scheme that. And these offensive coaches are smart, right? Like they're able to dissect things, and these quarterbacks are smart. They're able to see tendencies and they're able to change plays and make adjustments really well. And it's how these coordinators are able to mid-season make adjustments and disguise things and change tendencies and break tendencies that kind of separates,
right,
you know, the great coordinators from the, yep, just the average ones. Right. And I think, yep, Halfley, he has that. Right. And you saw it last year. Pass rush wasn't what we thought or what he thought it was. We can't just, can't just go on like this. We just can't continue to allow this to happen. We have to figure out a plan. And he did. And you look at how they finished last year. It's pretty good. It was pretty good how they finished
last year. And now if they're able to do the stuff that they weren't able to do last year, now who knows how good they could be. All right, we need to wrap things up. We're running out of time. Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
All of these folks that put these projections into the world, I don't think they have them winning six games.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
Let this team prove that these projections are bunk.
This is 100.5 ESPN.
He's got a Chevrolet. All right, we ran late, so we got to go. Always love it. You know, that's consistent with Brian Bulaga. We love having him on so much as a guest every week that when he's a cousin sub of the day, of course we're going to go long. Jesse, tell people what you've got planned for tonight before we go, though.
I'm going to the Brewers game as a media member again today.
Oh, you're going to go into Craig Counsell's press conference and yell at him and tell him how much you don't like him?
No, my hope is to avoid that press conference in that general vicinity. I do have a couple of questions planned for Pat Murphy should the opportunity arise. I don't want to chicken out like I did last time. So I'll hope to report back tomorrow.
All right. We look forward to it. We thank Brian Bulaga for being our cousin sub of the day, and we thank you for coming along for the ride with us. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.